The Daily Talk Show, everyone, episode 56.
Boom.
It's Tuesday.
It's a good number, 56.
Yeah, it is nice.
Mate, it's a good day. I've had a good day. Some days you just nail, some days you just fucking feel like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know, a bit of this, bit of that.
What do you think is the equation for a good day?
Oh, I feel like today could have gone either way.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's my mind. I don't know, I felt like hard conversations.
Yeah. And you got the edit done, like the edit you've been working on done.
Yeah, I've got so much work going on. It's great. And I could fall in a heap when you do have a lot of work, because that's potentially the byproduct of stress, right?
Yeah.
Stress is the byproduct of being super busy, and then the result of stress can be you fall into a heap of shit.
Well, yeah, I think it's for me, I work better with more going on. Like I have this tipping point where it's not good.
Mm.
But I think when you're sort of at capacity, where you have to stop fucking analyzing shit and just doing things.
Mm.
Whereas if you've got one project on, you got a bit of time, you'd be like, actually, you know what? I can push that or whatever. But this sense that if I don't do it now, I might not be able to do it later.
Yeah. I think as a business owner, it's like you should have a lot to do, because that's the responsibility of owning the business in terms of growing it. There's always things you're going to be doing. It's not like you're working in a cafe, there's no one walking in, there's no coffees to clean up.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you've got to make coffees for a potential person. Fuck, I've started doing metaphors.
Your mic was a bit quiet, so I've just turned you up.
I have caught the bug,
the metaphor bug. It's like having it's like a bee and you're the flower.
And so elaborate.
No, that's about it.
I wanted to talk
Fuck,
to
that's
you.
How much better. Guys, if Tommy was a bit quiet in the first 30 seconds, sorry about that.
Yeah. Hard conversations, having them. You hear the advice, have the hard conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Me mate Craig Harper, have the hard conversation first. Do a Harps impersonation.
You just got to fucking do it. I don't know. That's all I got.
But it's so true. And a hard conversation doesn't mean breaking up with somebody. That's not the severity of hard. That would be a hard conversation. But a hard conversation can just be one you're feeling a bit awkward about.
Sometimes a hard conversation is not breaking up and going like, okay, what's the, you're working with someone or things like that. It's like actually if we're going to continue and working together, we need to get this sorted.
I think I've been experiencing some hard conversations in terms of stretching outside my comfort zone, because it's nice and, you know, not to...
Fucking Siri thinking you're talking. Sorry about that.
Far out.
Go on. That was on my watch, everyone.
Fuck me. That scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, it
would. So where was I? Just... Yeah,
this is how I feel with my Apple Watch every day.
Mate,
but when
you look so distracted. First it was the levels, now you're bloody Siri.
Yeah, no, I'm all good.
You're a
Siri.
Robot.
Now, if I was a robot, I wouldn't get distracted.
True. When was the last time you had a hard conversation?
All the time. I think I do. I think the hardest conversation would have been that 3 weeks ago or whatever, when I sort of essentially broke up with a client. Where I just said, look...
Hard conversation.
Yeah, I said, it's not... this isn't where I want to go with my business, working with companies that are similar to you, which is interesting. Interesting conversation. But that was a hard conversation. What I've realized and what we've spoken about is I normally have to be backed into a corner and be pushed to have that hard conversation.
Yeah.
And I think that there is a disadvantage to that.
Mm.
I think that pushing through and having hard conversations way earlier makes sense. So for instance, a client wanted to drop off some footage to me today, and I just had to communicate with her, hey, this is the time that I'm available. And she was sort of pushing out and saying, oh, it's going to be this time. And what it meant is that... I had to communicate and have a hard conversation and say, look, just so you know, when you drop it off, I'm just going to have to take it and sort of run, because I've got other things to do. Whereas I think what I've done previously is whichever squeaky wheel, whatever's happening, whatever person I'm looking at face to face, I will prioritize that rather than prioritizing initially, this is my time, and then
It's so weird because it's all external. It's making, you don't want to put other people out.
Mm-hmm.
So like what you're mentioning there is like the benefit of those hard conversations was you.
Mm-hmm.
And not having them is almost the benefits on the other person.
Yeah.
Because they're either getting away with something or they're just plodding along to what they thought.
It seems selfish to have the hard conversation, but I think that it's the it goes back to what I've said a few times in the last few episodes. Can't remember where I heard it from. It was in Essentialism, that book. Don't take away other people's problems. Don't steal other people's problems.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was it?
Something around don't steal other people's problems.
Yeah, like don't steal from them their problems, in the sense of. Yeah, and that's a good example is if someone's running late and, you know, that's a problem that they've created or that's their problem. And if I suddenly say, you know what, I'm going to change all of these things now to make it work, that then becomes my problem.
So I feel good, I think, today from a couple of...
What were the hard conversations?
Hard conversations. Oh, I don't really want to get into them. Nothing serious.
Themes?
Oh, work-related, you know, office... related,
yeah.
Needing to sort of make some changes, wanting to sort of share those with somebody so it's news to somebody,
mm-hmm.
or it's forming a new direction with somebody I'm working with. And so I even found those, they're not big, and that's why I don't want to bother getting into them. But on the scale of big, they're very small.
Yeah.
But on the scale of my norm, they're not.
Yeah.
They're outside of my norm. So, but you definitely feel good. I was thinking it's like, you know, the video I made about rejection therapy.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine, it's not an original concept, but Jules Lund made this video where he's telling me this concept of rejection therapy, go out and actually find rejection so that you build up your muscle to not feel as bad when you are rejected. And so in the video, I'm going around asking people random stuff. Can I have a free coffee? Can I have a lift?
Yeah.
Can I use your phone to call somebody? And a lot of these people are saying no, and I know that they're going to probably say no, but it's still a bit fucking confronting.
There's the common one that made the rounds in Silicon Valley was asking for a percent off at your cafe.
Mm.
So did you do that one at all?
I asked for free coffee.
Yeah, no, so...
I took it the full hole.
The Silicon Valley way is like, hey, would I be able to get 10% off?
That's cool. I heard a guy, you know, James Altucher.
Yeah, does he do...
Weird, he got the one with the weird dude hat? He is from New York. He's got a podcast. Yeah. The James Altucher Show.
No, actually, I don't know.
Interesting guy. I quite like him. Got on to him years ago through Tim Ferriss or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
One of his things is sit in the wrong seat and it's the wrong seat on a fucking aeroplane.
Okay.
So you can imagine the anxiety. You would hate that.
Yeah, well, just don't be a dumb cunt.
The point is get uncomfortable. And that's what rejection therapy made me feel, and I documented it. And I thought around the game of like the hard conversations.
I would be I'd be like sweating bullets. Like, not only is this guy in my seat, but he's fucking sweating heaps.
But if you treat hard conversations like a game, and so it's like you build up a quota and not having a conversation for the sake of it. Josh, you got to fucking talk to you about your t-shirts.
Yeah.
They're fucked.
No, there's definitely, I think there is something in like an equivalent would be a very shit equivalent, cold showers. Yesterday, I was like, you know what, I'm going to start this cold shower thing again because I was getting a bit achy and it really sort of helps with inflammation. And I just went towards it. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to like fucking, I know, you know, the bits where you know where it's a bit like, oh, you know, when it fucking hits my chest, it's going to feel really cold or things like that.
Yeah.
Just going towards it and going, where's the most resistance right now in my body? Where am I trying to pull away from the shower? I'm going to fucking put that part in.
It's mental toughness, because I'm sure the person who is somewhere where you want to be, whether that's anything, any career or professional endeavor, is probably the person having more hard conversations or has been through a lot of them.
How do you, you know, you're talking about having a good day, the equation of a good day. Like, what is a, let's just talk about that a little bit more. I want to understand it. So it's, did you know, at what point did you know it was a good day?
To be honest, if I had been surfing this morning and doing fuck all and hanging out with my family, it'd be a better day. But on the scale of working, it feels like a good day. And I still feel like it's, the reason I brought it up is because I still feel like it's on the verge of a shit day, but I'm choosing it to be a good day based on, you know, getting a bunch of stuff done, ticking a bunch of boxes of work I need. I'm in a space where I have stuff going on that necessarily, it fills up my day, so I'm busy and I'm doing things that I like enough that it could fall apart, but my mindset is feeling like, no, I've got this, you know, I'm choosing this to be a good day. And I'm not saying it's a good day because I fucking positive affirmation just saying it. I genuinely feel inside like, I think you could relate, for you is like, you're busy and you're feeling like stuff's moving, mm-hmm. and you're feeling like you're taking stuff in a good direction. But I could, and the reality is, it could be shit tomorrow.
Yeah.
And shit meaning I could feel like I don't have my shit together.
Well, I think like the paradox that I find interesting is that I will, if for instance, like going away or something, like doing something like where I'm just meant to be relaxing, normally before every time I go away, I have like a slight fucking amount of anxiety.
Yeah.
Like a bit of, like I'm a bit of painful to be around for probably, it's normally the morning of, happens on Sundays. I don't know why, but like on Sundays, if I've got like, if I'm not doing work or if I've got nothing productive that I feel planned, I think I start thinking about all the things that I need to be doing in regards to like, okay, I need to rebuild this part of my website, or I want to, like I go into, or I want to learn this thing. I struggle with the having a free day.
Maybe that's the plan thing. Like we've been talking about recently, having a strategy takes away the worry that you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So when you have a plan or a fucking goal or a strategy to do something, it means that you can fall back on that. And even because there's no doubt that you will feel anxiety or some kind of stress at some point.
Yeah.
But you can then go, no, I've got that. This is the day that I'm meant to fucking have off, and everything, all the ducks are in line, if you want to call it that.
It's being it's being deliberate and having a really defined thing. So days that I really love is when I go for a walk or like do like a long, like a hike, like say doing 4 hours or 5 hours of walking. I feel like it's been a good reset. But the other thing I notice is if I have, the older I get, the more I realize that when I eat poorly, I feel like shit.
Oh, don't you?
Yeah. I can't work out though, whether it's the food that I'm consuming or whether it's the mindset. So I think it could be a bit of both, but it's that thing of, it's probably what people feel when they have a big drinking session or if they take drugs or whatever. It's the day after, self-loathing, being like, I'm not being the best person that I can be.
I think there's a bit of both. Taking drugs, you literally, like if you take ecstasy, your serotonin, which is the thing.
Is it
that
serotonin?
Serotonin is what
the drug releases.
The chemical reaction is to your body to produce and release it. And so you actually drain that. And so you literally feel like a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
There would probably be, I mean, you could be coming down from a sugar high or something like that. But I think it's also the mindset. It's triggering a mindset. But I feel like my body doesn't function.
Yeah.
I've been eating pretty shit food.
What are your defaults? What do you think? I'll give you two examples of things that I think. Straight away, two things that I do is I've got nothing to wear, no fucking clothes to wear. Like I'm like, shit feels tight. I'm not comfortable. I'm not fucking buying. Like, or just like I don't. It's not even.
These are signs.
It's psychological, but it's psychological too, because it's like a tight t-shirt can feel good when you're feeling lean, right?
Yes.
But a tight t-shirt when you're feeling a bit fucking pudgy.
Yeah.
doesn't feel good. But the funny thing is, it's like a, you know, when you fucking do that little pull on your t-shirt, mm-hmm. like I just don't feel fucking good in this. So that's one thing, is I feel like, even though the interesting fact of it is, and this is where anchoring and stuff, I guess, comes from. So the idea that we've sort of, you know, you can anchor, if you think about anchoring from a pricing point of view, it's like if I tell you something's costs $100, then you might say, oh, I want to pay $90 for it. Or if it's $105 at the store, you wouldn't necessarily blink. But if it's $700, you're like, your anchor point was set at $100. That seems ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anchoring, the reason I say this is because I've noticed it with my weight. So I am lighter than what I was 12 months ago. I'm losing weight every single year for the last sort of 7 years or whatever. Interestingly, though, the point in which I start feeling like sluggish and overweight is reducing. So when I used to feel like when I was above 90, I felt like I've gone too far. Now it's like 85. Like if I go over 85, I'm starting to feel it. When the reality was, like, say I'm sitting at maybe fucking 87 at the moment, this time last year, I would have been sitting at 88, but then could go to like 89, 90.
So one of them's the feeling of your clothes. What's another one?
Buying stuff. I feel like I think, fuck, I need new runners, or I need exercise shorts. So I go a little bit e-commerce. I think that there's a bit which is the it's the psychological.
I go a bit e-commerce.
I've bought, like, in this stage, I've bought a garment.
Do you reckon anyone's ever said that sentence?
Fucking oath.
I go a bit e-commerce. I honestly don't think there'd be many people fucking on this earth that have used that phrase.
I reckon someone has probably, I've thought about this actually. You know, you say something and you think, I wonder if someone around the world right now said the same thing. Is that blows your mind a little bit? Anyway, so that's the thing. I've bought a Garmin watch before. So it's probably the classic case of retail therapy.
So these are triggers or signs that what?
These are signs that I'm having some anxiety around probably weight.
Okay.
So
usually most years I do like a challenge with some friends. And when I'm at the 8 week mark of not drinking and fucking lowering my carb intake, I know the feeling when you say your stomach.
Yeah.
It's like I literally feel slimmer in my gut that makes me feel mentally like, oh, fuck, this feels great. Like I've talked about on this, like the feeling of being fit is fucking phenomenal.
Well, the thing that I have been doing, which I don't know if it's a good strategy or not, I think it is.
Purging.
Thinking about, exactly. No, thinking about when you eat the food, think about it inside you.
Yeah, think about, like, good about actually, downing a Big Mac.
Yeah, just say like imagining that going through your, you know, down your esophagus, all that sort of thing.
It's amazing how we talk about this and we know this and we don't fucking do it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I can't believe I saw fucking Whipper is doing the 28, Sam Wood 28 thing.
He's a famous radio personality.
Whipper is, and Sam Wood is ex reality show host PT.
He actually has a PT studio where Craig Harper had his very first.
At Woodshed. Is it Woodshed?
Yeah, where that is was Harper's.
Oh, interesting.
It's where I did my first experience, personal training experience.
Did they do a big fit out and shit with it, or was it?
It was already huge, and then they just rejigged it.
Yeah. But I saw Whipper was looking lean and shit. But it just got me thinking, all of this shit's the same. Like, it really is just all the same. It's like, fuck, what an interesting model that we're in, where it's like, I'll tell you what to eat and then you give me money. It's like,
it's weird.
It's so fucking dumb. Because, like, literally have, like, some chicken, some like lean chicken, have some broccoli, have, like, It would be so fucking easy to, like, if there was no emotion, if you took emotion out of it and someone just said, hey, this is what you can eat.
And you had to do everything they said. Of course. It's the main thinking of when I was a PT is like, if these assholes just fucking listen to me.
Yeah.
And that's the mindset of a young personal trainer that doesn't understand
the
anything
psychology
to do with psychology. And I still don't. And most PTs don't. But yeah, there's so much more to it, which is, I think it extends beyond that. And you know, when you're in a good space, you're probably eating quite well and, you know, you're making good choices.
It so, only takes me a day. And this is like the amazing, this why.
And you ripped?
Exactly. This why it shows how much of it's mindset and stuff. If I have one day of good eating, I feel way better in every regard. Mm. And so that's, it's a weird fucking thing when we, but I feel like for me, and this is the unhealthy part of it, is it's like I need to go pretty bad to then shock myself into like, I'm not doing that for a while, for a while. Like Easter, I didn't go fucking crazy. Like I literally-
6,000 calories was yesterday's-
Was 6,000 what I guessed.
I didn't go that bad. No, what the fuck's
but
bad?
The thing was, the thing is, it wasn't even like, it was just like random. It was just like, what can I eat? What's in the fucking... It wasn't even like an enjoyable... Like, it was very interesting. It wasn't like we had really delicious stuff. It's like, oh, this is the best fucking... Yeah. This is my favorite meal, so I'm going to have it. It's like the shit Easter eggs that are left over. And just like, oh, what flavor? Who gives a fuck? Yeah, oh, it's just the green and yellow fucking lollies are left. Give them to... Fucking give them to me! Yeah. Give them to me!
Yeah. I responded to a guy today. We'll just finish that one up. Move away from...
Yeah. You did a good job of talking healthy stuff without getting your normal.
No, I think agitated. We were on the same. I really wanted to get into you about your weight in terms of like your view on the amount. Because if you start dropping under 86 kilos, you're going to look like a crack addict.
No way.
I mean, 85 it'd be because of the muscle. Is low. Like you should be 90 kilos, I think. A solid, like a healthy frame. If you were moving a bit. Like you don't you're 6 foot fucking three almost. Like to be a even if you were kind of a bit skinny, 85 is good.
Yeah.
So don't worry too much about that. You're looking good, mate. I love you.
Thank you. And I'm wearing horizontal stripes, so it means a lot. Is it? You know, horizontal stripes make you look fatter.
Fuck. I got queer two new t-shirts with horizontal stripes.
Really? No, you're fine though.
I'm all right. Okay. See, I got a bit fucking anxious.
Can I just quickly tell you about? I'm going viral on YouTube at the moment.
Oh yeah, yeah. This could bring it up 4 more views.
Yeah, it's no. So it's,
yeah, what's that done to you? Because you seem like you have these shifts, and it's very results driven on the other end. So if you don't get affirmation, if you don't get fucking what's the word? Reward from on the other side, you're a bit disheartened. But as soon as you get a bit of reward.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. So, like YouTube, I haven't done a video in 2 months and I still need to get my 110 videos this year.
Mate, you haven't even done a video about our show.
No, because I let you do that one. It was great.
But I
we'll
said
definitely
you could,
do one.
I'd like you to do one. Nice.
But I'll do ones on podcasting in general. But my video that I did, which was called Tidy Up Your Digital Life, I... Remember I told you at the time, I'm like, I'm doing this for the algorithm. I said, I'm going to call it Tidy Up Your Digital Life and I'm going to put digital minimalism in it. I'm going to tag it up. I'm going to do it all. Sure enough, a YouTuber did a digital minimalism video over the weekend, posted it. And my video has been sort of the recommended video after it.
Yeah.
So it's had like over 80 likes. The video's had over 80 likes. It's got over 2,500 watches. So I think views. So I reckon it's going to hit 10,000 views by the end of the week.
Yeah, but so what does that mean for you? What's it doing internally?
Well, I'm a YouTuber now. No, it means... sorry for burping. What it does mean is what it means is that the things that we're doing... So the one sort of perception I had on YouTube was you'll know within a short period of time the success of a video. And I've had two cases. My Goodbye Philippines film had 50,000 views in November. It currently has 130,000 views. Great. So it got picked up in the algorithm and fucking... got heaps of people watching it. Similarly with this only had 300 views a week ago and now it's got 2,500 and it's going to hit 10,000 by the end of the week, I think. So what it's telling me is it's like I don't think I need to do, I definitely don't need to do 2-3 videos a week. But if I just focused on when I have a good, when I have solid ideas, because I feel like I do have a lot of them, without the core focus being algorithmic sort of goals, because I think that what happens is a lot of these YouTubers are purely playing the algorithm and they put out sort of half-assed videos. So for me, it's about elevating each one. So where I stand at the moment is...
You're coming out of retirement.
I'm coming out of retirement for YouTube. I'm back, guys. And no, but the other thing too is, you know, I get obsessed with search engine optimization, SEO and stuff. I'm doing a big push on Josh Jansen and just cleaning up my online presence. So I'm going to there's a Derek Sivers who I filmed an interview in Auckland with the Minimalist, and Derek Sivers created CD Baby.
Still don't know what it is, but anyway.
Fucking,
you've said about cool 40 times.
Cool dude. Anyway,
trust you.
He's got a section on his website called /now. DerekSivers.com/now. He's got a website called now, I think it is, 3nows.com. And what it is that now site is a directory of everyone's now pages. So you can submit your now page. And what it is it's a description on what you're doing now, what your focus is, what your purpose is. So for instance, you have your about page, which is sort of a bit of a biography. But the thing for me, it would be like, right now I'm working on the Daily Talk Show. I'm building my business, Full Stack Films. I'm currently planning this 3-month trip to Europe, all that type of thing. So you put it in that now section.
I like that.
Anyway, so I haven't updated my Josh Jansen site in ages.
Nor have I. Can we have like a day, a Sunday or something where we're just like, it's committing to that?
Yeah.
Because I'm fucked.
Well, I helped Till, my mate, who's a listener of the show, do it when he was starting off, going from being a soundo, so doing sound for broadcast, to sort of being in sort of film, doing corporate videos. I helped him. So if you type in Till Spilhoff into Google, it's all his video type stuff. So it sort of creates the expectation. So if a client Googles him, they're going to see, he's a filmmaker. This is what he does.
Not just seeing nudes like me.
Exactly.
Anyway, I've got not a bad digital presence. Let's just finish off. Got an email from a bloke, Michael. Hi, Tommy. Just wondering if, as a business person in the media coaching institute space, you'd be interested in finding out how to leverage websites for success. Blah, blah, blah. Fucking didn't even read the rest. Moved on. Get an email back from Michael the next day. Hi, just confirming you received my last email and whether you're free for a quick chat. Look forward to hearing from you. He's got a number. He's in Australia. His business is called digitalthing.com.au. On the fucking email, it had a unsubscribe button. I thought to me, fuck me, I haven't subscribed to any of his bullshit.
Yeah.
I wrote back to him today. Not sure how you got my email, but I certainly didn't subscribe. Understand you were just hustling, but in my eyes, this cold call style is a bit gross. Yeah. What I am curious about is if this approach actually works? Thanks, mate.
Do you write back?
Not yet, but I'm curious to know because I get a few of those.
Yeah, well, they're literally putting you in a sales funnel. So the annoying thing is that they have a similar thing happened to me with a Brisbane business that offers like fucking digital advertising and stuff for businesses and can help with organic search results. And I decided to have a conversation with them. So they called my office line. I answered. And I just spoke to him for a bit. So he sent me this email. Anyway, I opened. What happened? Oh, yeah. So I told him, hey, I'm not available at the moment. Call me in a few weeks. So he sends me an email being like, hi, Josh. Thanks for the chat. You know, as you said, I'll call you on this date, basically. Anyway, that date hadn't come. It was still a week away. And I opened up his email because I was going through archiving, like cleaning up my inbox. And he tried calling me straight after it.
Mixmax.
Yeah. So he's using, and like Mixmax is what I used to use, but all of the, there's a bunch of these services. And this is what this guy is doing too. So he saw that you opened the email, and then it would have triggered that if you open the email and don't respond within a certain amount of hours, he will then send another email.
Yeah.
And so I've had cases where I've gotten four fucking emails from people without even responding to them, and they'll just sort of and you end up through this whole fucking funnel.
When I have a robot and you have a fucking robot, your robot can talk to my fucking robot, but I'm not a robot, so fuck off.
It's literally like the Homer Simpson episode where he gets the answering machine. The auto dial. It's literally what this fucking guy's doing.
Curious to know, though, if it works. I'm sure it does.
It does. Like, well, it's economies of scale. So it's this idea that, okay, one in 100 people will do it. So what they're doing, they're probably scraping stuff. So they're scraping, you know, directories and shit.
It's actually, I don't think it's legal to put someone into a subscription without them actually signing it. I think that's what's happened. Or you just put it there as, I did think when I clicked onto the unsubscribe, because I was like, what the fuck's that? Took me to a page. And then I was like, look at the domain. I was trying to work out. It wasn't really, it just had this big unsubscribe button. So I actually thought maybe that's a tactic as well, to see who clicks through to the unsubscribe and then who does or doesn't do it. Because I didn't do it because I didn't know if I'd actually subscribed. And I thought, seems a bit dodgy. Anyway, I'll keep you updated on what Michael has to say for himself. But I've got to go pick up Bodie, my son.
Yeah, I've got to start walking. I'm meeting Bree. We're going to have grilled for dinner. We're going to do the
bunless
in the salad thing. Have we had
bunless burgers?
No,
the other
night.
They were nice.
You and I did the low carb. But Bree had the bunless and it looked fucking good. So we're going to do that. Guys, thanks for listening. We had a bunch of listeners yesterday, which was good. Bit of an uptake in
listeners.
Could
it be your digital minimalism? People seeing. Fuck, actually, you should have seen him. He was like a puppy dog that saw potential treats come out of a bag.
This is great. No, but we didn't, from all the fucking extra listeners, no new reviews. If you've listened, we know that there's lots of you who are listening to every single episode. So if you've listened to more than 10 and you don't think we're a pain in the ass.
You know who you are from Japan.
Yeah, exactly. Japan. Can you not say it? Like, I'm so sorry, Japan. If you are enjoying what we're doing, please subscribe. And actually, fuck off the subscribe. You're already subscribed. Just leave a review through the podcast app or on iTunes. And I know, Michelle, you've said you haven't, you don't use fucking iTunes and Apple. So we'll let you off the hook. Everyone, it's the Daily Talk Show. Thanks for listening. Bye.